Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
For those of you who have not been in the Seattle area for some time, maybe since the COVID pandemic hit and everything's been mostly shut down, it's going to be hard for you to imagine this. It's actually hard for me to imagine this, and I actually live in Seattle. Graffiti has somehow gotten worse in parts of Seattle. Downtown, Soto, Pioneer Square, Capitol Hill. Parts of Seattle have been overcome with graffiti.
It's just everywhere. It just looks like garbage town.
It looks like garbage town. That's Todd Beazold. He's the CEO of Merlino Foods. He, as a business owner, has suffered through this. He had been the victim of graffiti vandalism so many times he can hardly keep count.
Oh, I can't even count them. I mean, it's every week.
It's every week. It's happening right now near Denny Triangle. You're seeing a lot of it pop up. And that's of note because generally you've not seen it there. But now you are. Detective Christopher Young, who used to be on the SPD graffiti beat, he spoke to Como TV, and he's talking about how this is a growing problem.
Nowhere is really safe right now.
Nowhere is really safe right now. And part of the reason is there are still a lot of businesses that are working remotely, which makes it easier for someone who is doing it out of nefarious intent, or there's some gang member, or there's some quote-unquote artist. It makes it easier for them to get away with it.
A building that's not being used and boarded up, they're going to do their art there because it'll be there longer to look at.
Now, of course, we use art in air quotes here. I'm not going to call it art. I don't think we should be calling it art. I'm not going to give it that level of respect. Graffiti can be art. But when you do it in places where it's illegal, it's no longer art, it's vandalism. So I'm not going to give it any level of respect. Now, there used to be a program in Seattle, and this is similar, I think, in a lot of cities across the country, not just Washington State. There was a program that basically said, look, if you as a business owner gets hit with graffiti, it's actually on you to clean it up within a certain amount of days. I can't remember what it was. Or if you don't do it, you could face a fine. Now, during COVID, they got rid of this because they were obviously shutting businesses down and you weren't able to go into the office and they knew that you might get hit with graffiti and you might not even know about it. So they got rid of this program. I hope they permanently get rid of this program. It's absolutely absurd that a business has to pay to get rid of the graffiti that was put up because of an underlying issue that is being made worse due to city policies that allow this kind of stuff to happen. They're the victims, and now you are treating them even worse. You are re-victimizing the victim. And I think Todd Beazold, this business owner, makes a really good point.
I think we need to get to the root of the problem of why it's happening in the first place.
Why is it happening in the first place? It's happening because the city of Seattle has no leadership. We have no leadership here. This council has given up. The mayor has no power. She's not running for re-election either. She has no power because of the council. A council that has given the city away to activists. A council that has given the city away to vandals, to the homeless, to criminals, all in the name of social justice and equity. You see, taxpayers have privilege. Equity means we got to bring them down, us down, us taxpayers down just a few pegs. We got to experience what it's like for everybody else. You don't get to be comfortable in your own city, you taxpayer. We're viewed with scorn. The people who have a tendency to be responsible for this level of vandalism, this tagging, they tend to be lower income. And as a result, they're viewed as people who shouldn't be punished. They're simply victims of systemic racism, of inequities. They have no choice but to tag buildings. Uh-huh, right. Now, obviously, we also don't have enough police officers to patrol streets. This isn't just merely about a lack of foot traffic, which, of course, is part of the underlying cause of why right now and over the course of the last year we've seen such a surge in this kind of stuff, right? If businesses were open, more people were out, there would be less of a opportunity for someone to just tag out in the open without fear of getting caught. Although the second I say that, I remember when I lived at my old apartment, there was construction happening across the street of a new apartment building or a new mixed use building. And I saw a dude out in the middle of the day. It was like a little after noon on a weekend. Dude was just spray painting the side of the construction site. It was in the middle of the day. Didn't really care. But if there were cops around, walking around in neighborhoods, having presence, maybe this would be cut down some. But we don't have enough cops on the beat. We don't have enough cops staff to do any of this kind of patrolling. There's no proactive policing, let alone just officers showing themselves and being present. We know that just an officer or two walking or biking down a street has the ability, just by being there, to cut down on potential crime and making people feel safe. I know activists want to pretend if they're in front of a cop, it's traumatic. Shut up. Go away. We talk to reasonable people on this show. But let's say we had the staff members and they ended up, these officers, making these arrests of the people who are ruining the city and turning it into a garbage town. Those individuals wouldn't even get tried anyway. They wouldn't get charged. That wouldn't happen. It's ridiculous. Now, Detective Young is saying that he's hoping that when more foot traffic comes back to Seattle, things will get better.
I think it'll get a lot better once things get back to normal.
Maybe. Obviously, the Downtown Business Association, they're out there. They're doing what they can to clean this up. Volunteers are doing what they can to clean this up. And obviously, the businesses themselves, the business owners, are doing what they can. But unless you change leadership and own a city, take it back from the people you've ceded so much power to, this is just going to continue to happen because there are no consequences. And when you've given up on a city, when you don't care about the city, it just gets worse. It's like when your son or daughter, although it's usually sons, when they start off not really caring about cleaning up their room, starts off kind of messy. Then the next weekend you ask them to clean up and they don't, and it gets really bad. And then all of a sudden it starts to smell. And then all of a sudden there's just a mountain of trash and clothing that's old and gross, needs to be cleaned, and it gets worse and worse and worse. That's what Seattle has become because no one has taken a leadership role. Now, usually as a parent, you step in and say, okay, we're done. We're taking care of this problem. And you put your foot down and you order your kid to clean the room. When you do that, you end up getting some results. It's a positive. And the results that you see, the consequences of you taking ownership of your own home, are felt immediately. Your kid might not like you for that moment, might resent you for getting so hard on them. But they listen. Deep down, they respect it. They need that kind of order in their lives. And all of a sudden, bam, their room is much better. Your house no longer smells like a locker room or a foot. Or both. And you're much happier. And does it take some hard work to maintain order to make sure that your kid keeps that room clean? Yeah, it does. But that's really what it's like in a weird way. Taking care of a city. You need someone. You need the mom. You need the dad. You need the parent. Someone responsible to take ownership of the city the way you take ownership of your home. And you need someone to tell the kids, enough is enough. We're not letting you do this nonsense anymore. Clean up your room. Clean up your neighborhoods. And you're going to get on them constantly. And you're going to make sure that you follow through. And unless you do that, you're not going to get better results. Parents know this. Kids know this. And yes, that was a great analogy. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not a parent, but I was once a kid many years ago. Shut up, Peyton. I'm not that old. 1-800-46... He gave me a look. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. I'd love for you to weigh in. And if you text the keyword rants, I'll send you a link to my latest blog on a BLM activist who is suspected of anti-Asian hate crimes. Weird. I thought it was all white supremacists and Trump supporters. Don't forget, I will be on Tucker Carlson tonight. The video will be available on our YouTube page, youtube.com/JasonRants, or just text the keyword rants, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to not just my YouTube page, but all of my social media channels where we post all of the videos. Text rants, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Pierce County?
Pierce County had to go back into phase number two of Governor Jay Inslee's reopening a plan, a move by the governor that frankly came out of nowhere for a lot of folks, doesn't really make sense. So how exactly are they going to navigate their way back into phase number three at a time where they were already shorted a whole bunch of vaccines that could have prevented this from happening to begin with? Joining me on the line is Pierce County Executive Bruce Stammeyer. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jason. I appreciate the chance to talk with you.
So give us a little bit of a sense of how Pierce County was shorted the vaccines and why you think that might have played a role in all of this.
So as you're well aware, the data can be very confusing on many levels. So I have been watching the State Department of Health's website showing the vaccination percentage by county, and I've been concerned that Pierce County was kind of falling behind starting 2 months ago. And we've been working to try to get that addressed with no effect. And then a week and a half ago, we sent a letter to the governor, the council chair, Derek Young, and I did, highlighting this to him. And then when the rollback came out, I became very public about it. The, the issue is Pierce County is well behind the state average in terms of a percent vaccinated and has been falling further behind, even since we've been having this dialogue, falling further behind by the Department of Health's own information on their website.
So how does that play a role in where Pierce County goes from here? Obviously, the more vaccines and arms means the faster you guys can get to a herd immunity. It's a little bit weird when we're talking about herd immunity from a county to county, you know, perspective, because obviously there's shared populations of people visiting.
Yeah, exactly, Jason. You fully understand the challenges here. But we're trying to do two things. First of all, we're going to encourage our community to mask up and continue to follow all the guidance. We want to try to get our case rates down and follow all of the precautions. But at the same time, we know we've been shorted vaccines, and I am looking for a commitment from the governor to increase our allocation until we are up to at least the state average, which I don't think is too much to ask. And I appreciate that the governor has recently acknowledged that we've been shorted vaccines and has shown a commitment that we need to get additional vaccines. But I need to know that we're going to get the people of Pierce County need me to fight for them and make sure that we get treated fairly like the rest of the counties in the state, that we should be vaccinated at the same percentage as the rest of the state, as shown on the Department of Health's website.
Why aren't you being treated fairly?
Well, I don't have a good explanation for that. If you talk to the Department of Health or even our local health department, they've got a very convoluted process by which they try to order and do all this. But I would maintain that any process they have that has Pierce County behind and falling further behind our other counties on a percent of your population that's vaccinated, that process is broken and is not working for our community, and we need it to change. And the way they do that is to increase our vaccination percentage, the vaccinations that we're getting into Pierce County, to the point where we're caught up with the rest of the state of Washington.
Well, and to be clear, this isn't that the county has a higher than normal rate of vaccine hesitancy. The vaccines you're getting are actually being used, correct?
Absolutely. We're actually significantly ahead of the state average in terms of our getting vaccines into the arms, protecting the people of Pierce County. And And the whole issue of vaccine hesitancy, I think, at this point, you know, in 2 months, when we've had everybody has had a chance to get a vaccine, then maybe we can have that discussion. But right now, I've got a lot of people in Pierce County that want to get vaccinated, that have been following the rules and waiting their turn, and they need a chance to get vaccinated, not have Pierce County being falling further behind what the rest of the state's getting.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the Pierce County Executive Bruce Stammeyer about the decision by Governor Jay Inslee to move the county back into phase number two. And you've maintained that the numbers as they are right now, while you certainly don't like them, was not a reason to go into phase number two. Are your hospitals overrun with patients?
Not at all. That's the other thing that was frustrating, is that with kind of the changing metrics, particularly around hospitalization, going to this hospital rate, when I talk to our local hospital providers, our healthcare systems, they say that they've got more than enough capacity, that they have less than half the COVID patients than they had in December when we were at that kind of concerning peak, but that they can take care of our community. And if we were still measuring hospitalization and capacity and readiness to care for a community by the previous metrics the governor had used, we would be passing with flying colors. So it's, you can understand why the people of Pierce County and I am frustrated to be rolled back into phase two when that's one of the key criteria.
So what is this office telling you guys? And did they consult with you before they made this decision?
No, I mean, we've had some staff-to-staff discussions about it, and we've got a pretty good staff working level. The issue is, fundamentally, the State Department of Health is wedded to this very convoluted, multi-factored, subjective allocation process that I think is clearly broken, because it's got the second most populous county in the state of Washington not able to keep up with the state average in terms of the percent populated and falling further behind. That's what's mind-boggling. So at that point, I've got to do everything I can to make sure the people of Pierce County have the same access to vaccines as the rest of the state of Washington.
Do you get any sense that the rules are being revised to the benefit of Seattle and King County over others?
I don't have any indication of that. What I know is we're behind the state average, falling further behind. And I do know that King County is well above the state average.
Yeah, well, and that's my point, right? I mean, the King County is very clearly getting the vaccine numbers that they need. It seems like they are getting way more than they need, while we've got some counties, and it's not just Pierce County. I talked yesterday to Senator Wilson from Cowlitz County, basically making the same complaint that you're making, which is we're not getting served.
And that's the other thing that I would point out, and that we're talking to the governor's office. Look, if you're going to roll Pierce County, and for that matter, Cowlitz and Whitman County back, we really would appreciate you offering support to help us correct that. And that would, one of the key ways to do that is to give us more vaccines. I'm not saying that case rates is solved by vaccines. I think it would be very beneficial to it. If you think about 90,000 more people in Pierce County vaccinated, you've got to think that would really help keep our case rates down.
It's maddening here that the governor has still this much power to make these kinds of arbitrary decisions. And I said this yesterday, you know, to a point, it's all going to be arbitrary. We understand that. You do have to come up with a number, and, you know, it's by its definition going to be arbitrary. But when you don't bring in people to be a part of that conversation, especially at a time where you've got session currently underway. It's not like you're not in session and this is an emergency. We're not in the emergency phase anymore. Right? I mean, would you concur with that? Do you think we're now still in emergency phase, or do you think we're past emergency now, we're dealing with it, and we're trying to come out of it?
My focus is to try to help the people of Pierce County come through this, to finish the job. And as a matter of fact, when we're looking at our federal America Rescue Plan money, we're looking at both how to finish getting out of this pandemic and how do we position ourselves for a much stronger future. That's where we're looking.
Well, I wish you guys the best of luck, obviously. It's a tragic move that the governor made at a time where I know a lot of businesses in particular finally saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and I know that a lot of residents did as well. So I'm glad that you're there to help them get through this and fight for Pierce County. We'll see what ends up coming of it. We've been talking with the Pierce County Executive, Bruce Dammeyer. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you, Jason.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Jason Ranch. Don't forget, I'll be on Tucker Carlson later this evening. If you want to watch that video, go to youtube.com/Jason Ranch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. This is an interesting story that comes out of the United Kingdom. It's based on a show that's very well liked over there. I've not seen it yet, although I love Idris Elba, who's the star of it. It's called Luther. And the BBC is the station, the channel that airs it, the network that airs it. And their diversity chief, her name is Miranda Wayland. She has created a whole big controversy based upon some of her comments on this show, which I don't even think is on anymore. She said during a discussion at a conference that this show is not, quote unquote, authentic when it comes to telling stories of black people. And she said on this panel, according to Entertainment Tonight, when Luther first came out, everybody loved the fact that Idris Elba was in there, a really strong black character lead. We all fell in love with him. Who didn't, right? But after you got into all the second series, you got kind of like, okay, he doesn't have any black friends. He doesn't eat any Caribbean food. This doesn't feel authentic. And she ends up continuing by saying, it's great having those big landmark shows with those key characters, but it's about making sure everything around them, their environment, their culture, the set is absolutely reflective. It'll be very much about how can we make sure that this program is authentic in terms of the storytelling. Now, a lot of people obviously responded to that by saying, well, that's actually racist. You're saying something's not authentic is not essentially, quote unquote, black enough, as a lot of people rightly pointed out to this criticism, because the character, who's fictitious, obviously, but the character doesn't live up to your expectations of how a black character is supposed to live. That somehow all black people are a part of this monolithic culture where they all do X, Y, and Z. They're all exactly the same. Because we obviously know that that's nonsense. Does every black person in the UK eat Caribbean food? Does every black person in the United States eat fried chicken? It's a stereotype, right? It's an offensive one. And anyone who wrote that kind of caricature, if you did a show here, for example, that did you leaned into all of the stereotypes because you wanted to be, quote unquote, authentic, you would be called out for racism. And so now she's saying it's actually racism when you don't lean into some of the stereotypes, what she deems authentic. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. Now, the Daily Mail has a commentator by the name of Calvin Robinson. And he wrote yesterday on Twitter, it was implied I'm not black enough because I didn't have any black friends in my photo. Today, BBC's diversity chief says Luther isn't black enough because he doesn't have any black friends. These lazy stereotypes are racist. He's right. And he continued, great thing about Luther is that his skin color isn't the core of his identity. He's fighting many battles. An example that we're all human, we all struggle. But our ethnicity doesn't always play a part in that. That's diversity, Miranda Whalen. Equality. That is so well said. That is so well said. He's 100% correct. When people say they want diversity, all they seem to want on the left, when they say this, when they talk about diversity and inclusion, they want superficiality. When they say they want black characters, they just want it so they can say, oh, see, look, it looks different. Without talking about who that character actually is, they define people on the left by an individual's identity, not by how they think, the kinds of people they are, their empathy, their sense of humor, their intelligence, their skill. They see people, they're taught to see people by their identity. And it's not even just a character. They don't see Idris Elba as a brilliant actor, of which he is. He's actually one of my favorite. I love him. They see him as a black actor. I don't see him as a black actor. I see him as an actor. A damn good actor. But they see him as a black actor. They tokenize him. And they don't realize on the left when they do that how offensive that is. They don't realize that. And that's got to be frustrating for a lot of folks. It's frustrating for me, as someone who's gay and Jewish, that I'm told I have to act a certain way, think a certain way, be a certain way, as defined mostly by folks on the left who are straight and non-Jewish. Another person wrote in response to this controversy, Fema Olawole, a writer for The Independent, said, "The police turn on Luther every chance they get. How is that not an authentic black character?" That's kind of funny. It is so ridiculous. Who are folks on the left to tell anybody? I don't care if you're a diversity and inclusion leader within an organization. I don't care if you think you're trained in diversity. Who are you to tell someone they're not authentic? There's no one way to be, quote unquote, black. You're black by virtue of your race. You're Jewish or Muslim or Catholic by virtue of your religion. And I know people will find this controversial on the left. You're male or female by virtue of your biology. But how you express yourself as an individual is up to you. There's no right or wrong way to be black or Jewish or transgender or atheist. I guess there's a way to be not a wrong atheist is when you like, I believe in God. Well, that you're doing atheism wrong. But there's no wrong way to be inauthentic, because you're either authentic or you're not as a person. And your skin color does not define what that authenticity means. Unless you're trained to view things through this identity politics lens, this critical race theory lens, where you are told to hold on to racist beliefs, such as this is how black people act, this is how Asian people act, this is how Latinx people act. That is inherently racist, and they don't seem to understand that. It's very odd to me. This does make me want to watch Luther now, because I keep saying I'm going to watch it. I've had it on my queue for a while. But then I canceled my Netflix, so never mind. Never mind, I'm out. I don't even know if it's on Netflix anymore. I'll find it. Now I want to watch it. 1-800-465-877. Speaking of watching things, make sure you watch my appearance on Tucker Carlson Tonight, the video of which will be up on our YouTube page within the next hour or so. Check out youtube.com/JasonRants, or just text the keyword Rants, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rants Show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM in the Greater East Side. Linda Yang is with Washington Asians for Equality. It's a group that says what it's doing. It's all about making sure that Asian Americans, Asian Washingtonians, are being treated equally, a topic that has come up recently because of concerns coming from the community that they are being victimized at disproportionately high rates. And of course, folks on the left will say they're all about fighting for Asian Americans. On this show, though, we've pointed out they tend not to really fight for Asian Americans all that often. And Linda Yang in the Washington Asians for Equality group notes that the Senate Democrats right now in Olympia probably need to examine their own inherent bias against Asian Americans. Linda now joins me to explain. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thanks.
So first, sort of big picture, you argue that the Democrats in Olympia are not necessarily addressing their own bias against Asian Americans. What do you mean by that?
Well, so this session, there's a couple of bills. It just demonstrates that, you know, they do not care about the Asians. One particular bill is SB 5264. That's a Chinese history, Chinese American History Month bill. It's a bill passed the committee unanimously, and it has sponsors from both parties.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bill, unfortunately, was stalled by the Senate Democrat leadership. It was held in the Rules Committee for 17 days. And then they will sit on that for another 20 days till it, you know, expired at the cutoff.
Why do you think it was stalled?
Either they didn't care or they just didn't have the will to pass the bill to support the community. We feel it's a long overdue bill because considering the contribution of Chinese Americans to this region, this bill should be existed a long time ago. It's just been introduced this session by Senator Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
He actually made a comment. He was surprised, you know, there's no such bill exist. And the bill basically, you know, it's a very low bar bill. It has no physical impact. It's basically just, you know, encouraging schools to, you know, to use January as a month to commemorate the Chinese Americans' contributions to this region, to the country.
It's a symbol,
you know.
It's a symbol. And generally, and I'm pretty open about this, Linda, on my show, I don't like virtue signaling. I find it to be a little onerous and empty. But in this case, what I find interesting is that it's the Democratic Party that is all about the symbolism. And they say over and over and over again that this is the way that you supposedly show your support of a community. And while they passed a bill making Juneteenth a holiday in Washington state, which does have a fiscal impact, they're completely ignoring your story, the bill you're talking about here, having no fiscal impact whatsoever at a time where they're claiming that they're all focused on Asian Americans.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this bill, the reason the bill matters to us is because Asian Americans being ignored. You know, if you look at the education system, K to 12,
yep,
there's no such education exists. No curriculum exists. I contact, you know, the school district in King County. Many of them, they don't have those kinds of education. And this bill is not mandatory. It just encourages schools. It's given us a chance to open a dialogue with the school district. It's very sad. We have to go, you know, it's like I said, it's a symbolic bill. And we have to say, please pass this bill, so give us a chance to have a dialogue with the school district. And even with this request, you know, they sat on the bill and they denied it.
Yeah.
And on the Juneteenth bill, you know, like I said, it's $7.5 million, you know, physical impact. And the ironic is the Black Lives Matter Alliance actually opposed the bill. They called it out as a token bill. They said it's going to cost the state $7.5 million and it's a token. So they didn't want the bill to be passed, but
they did it anyway.
The Democrats, yeah, they did it anyway, and they did that in like what, 5 days in out of the Rules Committee, 2 days, you know, from the floor calendar, you know, to be voted out. So 7 days, and for the symbolic bill for the Chinese American History Month, they set that on that for 37 days and let it die.
Yeah. Linda Yang is joining me on the line. She's with Washington Asians for Equality. She is complaining in a way that really rings to commentary we've had on this show for several months now, if not the last, frankly, the last year, that Senate Democrats are sort of inherently biased against Asian Washingtonians. And something that I've noticed, Linda, is institutionally, you know, when Democrats talk about people of color, even the term BIPOC, it specifically ignores Asians. When they talk about how minority communities are disproportionately impacted when it comes to education, they literally ignore the fact that Asian Americans, and here Asian Washingtonians, outperform even white students. And it seems to me that they are ignoring Asians as a minority community and simply lumping Asians in with whites because you're just doing too well. Do you feel that that is an underlying issue here?
I honestly, that has been the theme that we are fighting against a couple of bills, like quite a few bills this year. And I want to point out to SB 5228. So this is a bill, basically they want to increase the number of underrepresented students at medical schools in Washington. But the underrepresented students does not include Asians.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the math. When you increase the number of, you know, underrepresented students but not including Asians, basically you're gonna effectively create a racial quota against Asian students. We point this one out, and we basically we ask the legislature, well, either you amend the bill to make sure it does not negatively impact Asian students, or table the bill this session. Let's have a discussion. They passed it. They said this is going to help the people of color community, but, you know, that's not including Asians. So that shows they don't care. They don't care about Asians. In their mind, you know, it's okay to ignore Asians. Asians are going to suffer. They don't care.
Because you're doing too well as a group, right? I mean, I experienced that as a Jew. Jews have a tendency as a community to do better as far as minority groups are concerned. And as a result, we're just dismissed and not viewed as an actual minority. However, when it's politically beneficial to the left to go ahead and say they're standing up for Jews or for Asians, they'll go ahead and say that.
Yeah, I mean, those empty rhetoric, I think it needs to be end. I think Asians need to demand actual actions, you know, the result, not those empty talks. I see, you know, those politicians, you know, this after the Atlanta event, you know, they go on TV, they go on rallies, they were giving all those, you know, talks, but, you know, when they are practicing, policy that's actually going to be negatively impact, you know, Asian Americans. So I want to call this one out. And I think the reason we want to call out the SB 5264 is, you know, we want them to recognize they have bias within themselves against Asians. They have to examine that internally and recognize it. So they are working on those equity bills supposed to help fight against discrimination. But when they have discrimination internally and they don't recognize, those bills are going to do more harm. Yeah. They're going to introduce more racism, you know, to the street, in the system.
It's maddening. And, you know, I sympathize or empathize, I suppose, as a Jew, because I have experienced sort of the same reaction to some of the empty rhetoric. Although, in fairness, we get a lot less on the Jewish side because of the progressive movement has moved very far against Jews and against Israel as of late. So they're not really pandering as much to the Jewish community anymore, although they do pander to the Asian community while doing almost nothing to actually address some issues that you bring up. So I'm glad that you are bringing them up. I'm glad that Washington Asians for Equality exists. Linda Yang, thank you so much for the work that you've been doing. Really do appreciate you sharing some of your perspective here today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. Again, that was Linda Yang for Washington Asians for the number 4 Equality. You've been listening to the Jason Rancho. Thank you so much on that topic, by the way. I was on Tucker Carlson talking about a related issue. If you want to watch that video, head on over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Jason Rants. That video of my Tucker Carlson Tonight appearance will be up in the next 30 minutes or so, if it's not already up. youtube.com/Jason Rants. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.